Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Welcome back, students. Welcome new students. Welcome visiting clergy, soon to be our fieldwork supervisors. A couple of weeks ago, the Dean of the Chapel gave his annual colloquy as to the expectations of the daily chapel's homily. We are not to poke fun at the dean or make any inside jokes about Dr. David Scare, but utmost of the expectations is that a good news sermon based on Jesus Christ is proclaimed, properly separating the law from the gospel, not to exceed 8 minutes. A point that was reinforced by a 20-minute dissertation by one of our elders who shall remain nameless. And so it is, we turn to the two short verses of today's reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1. This charge I entrust to you, my brothers in Christ, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and good conscience. Dear friends, that is really what it is all about, faith and a good conscience. Resting your head on the pillow, knowing it is well with your soul, knowing that by the grace of God, the sins of the day have been forgiven for those who in humility repent, confess, and ask God for his mercy and his grace. Those who believe that because of his love for you, the righteousness of Christ, who was sacrificed upon Calvary's cross, is now counted as your righteousness, a gift given to him by the Father who lifted him up from the grave after he, being dead in the flesh, descended into hell and claimed victory over the souls enslaved therein. St. Paul then warns young Timothy that there are and will be those who reject this truth, thereby shipwrecking their faith. And Paul lists two among them whose names aren't really significant. So go ahead, fill in the blanks. As there is certainly no shortage of those whose faith has been shipwrecked by this broken, sin-filled world, a place where babies are murdered in the womb, a place where terrorists behead Christians because of their faith. No shortage of sinners who have been handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. It is unclear what specifically the blaspheming was, although we can draw some reference from St. Paul opening this letter with a warning about the law, the ungodly, and the sinful. Merely a short list of the sinfulness facing the young pastor's congregation. Unholy, he writes, profane, domestic batterers, murderers, sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Later, I am told that some of the early church fathers would suggest that this passage was given to us to warn against the many heresies that would soon follow. Adoptionism, Arianism, monotheism, Gnosticism, antinomianism, Mormonism, and the list of isms goes on and on. Just pick your poison. Hopefully, for all of us gathered here today, it is Lutheranism, confessional Lutheranism, or as some of our elders might say, dead Orthodox Lutheranism, an ism for which we are thankful, an ism that is built upon the truth contained within Holy Scriptures and confessed with the words of our three ecumenical creeds. You know them, the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian. Yet make no mistake about it, even within Lutheranism, you will find the ungodly and unholy, just like the one St. Paul entrusted into the care of young Pastor Timothy in Ephesus and Macedonia. Yes, in our ism, there is no shortage of sinners who are in need of daily repentance, contrition, daily forgiveness, and reconciliation with our Lord. Our Lord who cares for us. Our Lord who loves us, just like a shepherd cares for and loves his sheep. Heck, you might be just one of those. My notes say here to pause and to see who might be squirming in the pew. But seriously, none of us are without sin. None of us are really all that far from the forbidden fruit and the temptations of the old evil foe. That is exactly why our confessional Lutheranism is the very place where God would have you sitting today, a place where you can confess a faith that is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. St. Paul wanted to make certain that the faith God gave to him on the road to Damascus was the same faith Pastor Timothy would proclaim to the troubled consciences entrusted to him in the ancient world. Unfortunately, we are tempted in the same way. When we too fall, as did our first parents, as did the young people living in Asia Minor. And so it is, we must be warned. Just as God used the prophet Jeremiah to warn his people one half of a century before the Savior walked on this earth in the flesh. At a time when the people of Jerusalem had adulterated themselves with gods of this world, the prophet was instructed to say, "But O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the hearts and the minds, let me see your vengeance upon them." Yet fortunately, in Christ, you have been given a different spirit. Indeed, you have been given a Holy Spirit and a faith that guides you and returns you to the one true God in all humility. You have been given by that Spirit a faith to renounce this world, the devil, and even your own flesh. That Spirit and faith was first given to you in the life-saving waters of your baptism, for it is in your baptism that you now live. not as your own gods, but by faith in the triune God, the Father and the Son and this Holy Spirit, the name which was given to you in those life-saving waters. It is always to that name that you must humbly return in repentance and receive more and more grace, more and more mercy, because you know that in that name there is forgiveness of sins, your public sins, even those sins that you thought you have kept to yourself. In Christ's name, you have a sure and certain future, a divorce from this world and its false gods. You have the Church of the Living God, as Timothy put it, a pillar and buttress of truth. Great indeed, Paul says, and we confess. He, Christ, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up to glory. This is the message that you are called upon to boldly confess. These are the words of eternal life. These are the words that point us to the author of our salvation, the giver of that new life. Boldly confess that when Jesus came into our flesh to bring us forgiveness and life, he came down from heaven and did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of you and me, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death, even to death on a cross. So there you have it. Our ism, our confessional Lutheranism, a place where it is taught that one cannot, will not obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God through his own work or merit, through his own satisfactions, but that you receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God out of grace, for Christ's sake, through faith, when you believe that Christ has suffered for you and that for his sake your sin is forgiven and righteousness and eternal life are given to you. Yes, for God will regard and reckon this faith as righteousness in his faith. In Jesus' name, amen.